in this. And we are now recording. So I'm calling to order the closed session at 5:03 PM. Our first item will be public comment. Do we have any public in the waiting room?
We do not. So I will go ahead and pause recording, hand it off to you, and then I'll log back on just before six.
Well, real quick before you pause recording, while we're still in open session, I just wanted to make an announcement for the item coming up in open session later, that one of the candidates has withdrawn their nomination. So we only have a single candidate, Aaron Newman, making that announcement for the public and for any board who might not have seen that. So now we can move into closed session and stop recording.
Okay.
One. And can we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Commissioner Marks.
Here.
Commissioner Higgins.
Present.
Commissioner Dale.
Here.
And President Coleman.
Present. All right, and then if you will bear with me here. Can you all see that?
Yes.
Nice.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, thank you. And I better stop it before it like scrolls to whatever the next one might be. Oh, I didn't stop it soon enough. Okay. All right, so we are going to move directly into item six tonight, which is review applicants for vacant First District Board of Commissioner seat and appoint candidate to fill seat for the remainder of former Commissioner Larry Doss's term. Although should we have, I don't see any report out from closed session, or does that come?
We should make a report.
I don't think we had anything to report anyway, but. Can we have a report out?
Yeah, just for the record, there was no reportable action taken.
Thank you. Okay, great. Now, so moving on to reviewing applicants for vacant First District Board of Commissioner seat and appoint candidate to fill seat for the remainder of former Commissioner Larry Doss's term. So we had two candidates nominate themselves for this seat. Today, one of them withdrew. So we have a single candidate for the seat. Aaron Newman, who I believe is with us by phone today. Is that true?
Aaron, you're muted.
Is that you at that 496-558 number, Aaron?
Yeah, and so can somebody unmute him from, because he's on a phone. Well, what's the trick on the phone?
I'm unmuted. I'm sorry.
There we go. All right.
Thanks, Pat. He got it. So having, I think we'll still go through the process. We're going to ask you a few questions, Aaron.
Okay.
You can keep your answers brief, but so we and the public can get a sense of who you are. So could you tell us why you want to be a Humble Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District Commissioner and what your strategic vision for the harbor and the district is?
Well, I feel like I have a lot of skin in the game as I was a commissioner for a full term, 2011 to 2016. And a lot of the projects I feel like are very important to the Bay. And I'd like to help see them continue and be successful. I think there's a lot of hurdles the district needs to get over, about the dredging and other issues that affect the fishing industry that I'm still an active part of. My biggest interest is to be able to continue the good work that the district's doing and help guide the district as I feel I have in the past, as someone with a lot of fishing interest, experience, and understanding. And it looks as though there's a lot of new things on the horizon that are very exciting, and I would like to make sure that for the constituents of the bay, especially those in the fishing industry and the direct users of the bay, aren't infringed on by some of the new projects, and that we do things the right way going forward with some of these exciting new projects, thinking about the offshore wind and potential fish farm. And it's an exciting time to be a part of the district again, and I'd really welcome the opportunity.
Great, thank you. And it sounds like you touched on our second question about the district's past, current, and future projects. Do you want to say anything more about how you feel about the district's past, current, and future projects? Did you get to see these that we're asking you tonight, by the way?
Sorry, I didn't quite get that.
I was wondering, did you get a chance to see these questions? Because they're in the packet that we'll be asking you.
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Okay,
just
checking. Yeah, so.
I am very proud of the pulp mill revitalization project at the Marine Terminal, and very excited about what's going to be happening in that whole area of the bay with the potential wind energy on the horizon. The mariculture expansion, I was on the committee when I was on the board previously and was very excited about how we might be able to do more in the bay, hoping that that can lead somewhere. As a fisherman and someone's represented the fishing industry in Humboldt Bay, the dredging issue is a real deep one, and I think that's a project that we really need to find a viable solution for going forward. I really feel as though I had a lot of skin in the game when we did these things in the past, and I'd like to see them come to fruition. I think there's a lot of good projects going forward. So
great.
That's pretty much my answer to that one.
Yeah.
off the cuff somewhat.
Thanks. Yeah. Oh no, that's fine. I'm going to just roll through these questions because we had them here and it'll be interesting to hear what you have to say. So what Humboldt Bay item is most important to you, recreation, conservation, or commerce, and why?
Well, I have to answer that by saying all of the above. I think that the three are interdependent, interconnected. You can't go crazy with any one of those projects, especially with a commerce project of some kind, without really being careful about how it might affect the other two. They're all very important. There's no way that I can say that any one of those items is a more important facet of Humboldt Bay's future. I mean, whatever the issue is, the recreational users' interests need to be carefully looked out for. Of course, commerce is very important. We need jobs. In conservation, look at the mistakes of the past. We've got to do things properly so we don't create environmental messes that just aren't right. So it's an all of the above answer to me on that question.
Thank you. And then how can the Harbor District work most effectively with other Humboldt Bay stakeholders, jurisdictions, and regulatory agencies?
Well, the obvious answer to me to that question is when you're dealing with the agencies that the district has to deal with in order to get projects approved and move forward with projects, you have to work carefully. I mean, you have to know what the rules are and approach things carefully, be prepared for the hurdles that are going to come from satisfying all these various agencies that the district has to deal with moving forward in any kind of a project. And I guess the same's true for helping individuals that are trying to work with the district, making sure that they satisfy the Harbor District's requirements as an agency. I mean, it's just a matter of being smart, looking forward, and being prepared for requirements that we know are going to be part of projects. That's my take on that.
And then the last prepared question I have is, how should the district balance environmental protection and economic development?
Look at the past. Look at the economic development over the last 100 years in Humboldt Bay and how it's been very degrading to the environment. I mean, we have to move forward in a way, and we will move forward in a way now that doesn't take chances on causing environmental degradation in any kind of a project that is undertaken on the bay. I mean, that's where we really have to be aware of the history and the mistakes of the past and make sure that going forward we do things properly. And that's a pretty straightforward answer, I think, to that sort of a question.
Thanks. Yeah, good answers to all the questions. Now I'm going to run down our seated commissioners now and see if anyone has any additional questions before we take it to the public. I guess I'll just go ahead. Well, Patrick, you're already unmuted. Patrick, do you have any additional questions?
No, they'd be more in the order of commendation. So I'll wait till you bring it back and then I'll put 2 cents in.
Okay. Richard? Greg?
My only question is, this meeting is in person. It was supposed to be in person. And it was hybrid. I'm the only person, I'm the only commissioner that showed up in person. And if this candidate would like to be on the board, do you think he could, I mean, what's his protocol for making it to meetings?
Sorry.
I had a planned business trip that's about a 3-week deal that really couldn't get out of. I'm actually in West Texas right now, so I wasn't able to make this meeting, but I assure you that as in the past, I will make every effort, no matter what's going on, to attend whenever I possibly can, and will sacrifice somewhat to attend meetings.
Thank you.
So that, I'll bring up a question then, how to best put it. For attending meetings in person, it's important that we adhere to a proper protocol while we're still in a pandemic. Like Greg and Larry, I know, are both vaccinated and more than 6 feet apart. I'll go ahead and ask that. You know, are you vaccinated and willing to, you know, meet whatever?
You can't ask that.
I can ask it.
I am fully vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine. I've been vaccinated since April. Actually, my second shot was in May, and I intend to get the booster whenever I'm able.
Good on you. All right. Richard, you're raising your hand again.
Yeah, this is my first comment.
Okay. Well, you said no before. I'm going to go back on a pass. Oh, you want to make?
Majorly, I'm going to make the motion to accept Aaron Newman as commissioner for Division One.
I will second that motion.
I'll and third. Since we've already had the discussion between the commissioners, please let it go to the public.
Yeah, I was just about to do that, but then you raised your hand, so thank you. So are there any public who would like to comment on this matter? Please indicate somehow if you would like to. I am not seeing anything from the public. So I'm going to bring it back up. We have a motion and a second. It did sound like Commissioner Higgins wanted to say something maybe before we went to a vote, but you can just stay muted while you tell you say your piece, so that's fine, Pat.
There we go. Now, I'm unmuted? No.
Yes.
I'm still muted.
No, you're okay. Unmuted.
All right. I'm hopeless in Zoom. When Aaron came to the board, that was a time of pivotal transition with he and Greg, very enlightened, and they helped us through very troubled waters. I'd also like to point out that Aaron Newman has been a player on the Humboldt Bay Development Association, which is related to the New Market Tax Credits. And so his commitment to public service is unbroken and unquestionable. And I'm very, very glad that he's willing to serve. So thank you, Stephen.
Thank you, Mr. Higgins. Okay, so if there's no further comment or discussion, can we take a vote?
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Oh, yeah.
And President Coleman.
Yes. Welcome aboard. Welcome back on.
Welcome back.
Thank you very much. Glad to be with you.
So I think, were we going to proceed? I think we can proceed directly with the swearing in, or should we wait until? I mean, I'm fine proceeding directly with the swearing in, or we could see before then. Do you have a suggestion, Larry or Ryan?
I do not have the specific language in front of me. I apologize. Mindy is not here. I don't know if Ryan.
Well, and Greg really wanted in person. So this kind of meets Greg's objectives of seeing Aaron when he finally is officially seated. So I'm okay with, you know, we don't have any momentous decisions this evening. And
yeah,
and he doesn't have any video. So
yeah, so we can't see what he's putting his hand on anyway while he's swearing. So we'll dispense with that. And once again, congratulations. Great to have you back on board. Looking forward to it. I'll go ahead and move directly to public comment now. This portion of the agenda allows the public to speak to the board on various issues not itemized on this agenda. Do we have anybody wishing to make public comment to the board on items not on this agenda tonight? I am not seeing.
Yes, I have my hand up. So I'm Robin Gray Stewart with the North Group of the Redwood Chapter of the Sierra Club. I'm the Marine Chair. And I know that in the future, you're going to have coal on your agenda. So I wanted to take an opportunity to go ahead and read our statement about our stand on coal tonight. So we have written, coal has no place in our delicate Humboldt Bay and Eel River Canyon ecosystems, or for that matter, in the world. Coal is a carcinogenic and contains multiple toxins, including mercury, cadmium, and arsenic. Bulk coal can also create methane gas. Transporting coal on trains and loading the coal onto ships that would then transport the coal will create an environment where coal dust would be prone to escape and settle into the habitats of multiple sensitive species, including salmon, smelt, and eelgrass. Coal pollutants are commonly found in the marine environment near storage and loading facilities. Some studies have also indicated that coal dust entering the estuarine environment may negatively impact the immunity of oysters to diseases and pathogens. On a more global scale, it is worth mentioning that coal is considered the number one cause of our climate emergency. Please say no to the coal train and continue to support the Great Redwood Trail. And thank you for thinking about your decision about this. Thanks.
Thank you very much for that comment. Being public comment and non-agendized, we won't have discussion on it, but I thank you very much for that. Moving on to the, is there any other public comment? I'm not seeing any. Moving on to the consent calendar. I'll entertain a motion, or if anybody needs to remove anything from the consent calendar.
So move. Pass the consent calendar.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Can we have a vote on this?
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
And President Coleman.
Yes. All right, and it looks like
Stephen, could I just say just one brief thing? I wanted to just point out that in the packet, the summary of cash flow is that we have $2,277,000 of cash available in the bank. And that's something that the district has not had, you know, in some time. And so I wanted to bring this to your attention. And a lot of this has to do with the cable landing project. And then the second thing I wanted to point out on this is that on November 1st, we paid the Coast Seafood loan in full. And so the Coast Seafood loan is paid in full. And I just wanted to take the opportunity while we're looking at these cash flow statements to say that we do have some big expenditures, but we're starting to get the ship on the right course financially. And so thank you very much.
Thank you, Larry. Yeah, we should have pulled the financials from the consent calendar, or you should have not put them on there, because that's extremely heartening news. Very, very glad to hear that. All right, and it looks like we also have some correspondence from the Humboldt del Norte County Medical Society regarding health and safety impacts of transporting and shipping coal.
That is correct. And I also wanted to let the board know that we received correspondence from the County of Humboldt regarding redistricting. I was hoping that Ryan could just give just a very brief update on the redistricting efforts and how that might relate to the board as correspondence received.
Happy to. And so as most of you know from the news reports, the county's going through a redistricting process. It's something that the county is required to do after each federal census every 10 years. The county has until mid-December to adopt their final map. Their last of four required public meetings will occur in November. And all signs point to the county meeting their deadline of adopting their new final district maps on or about December 15th of this year. It has to be done 174 days before the June election. The district too has the obligation to consider the census and redraw its district maps so that there is equal population in each district as best as can be determined. The practice of the district in the past has been to allow the county to go through the same process because they have the same standards. And then once the county has adopted their final map and assuming no legal challenges to those maps, the board has adopted a resolution to mirror its districts after the county. And that has occurred for the last three census and would be the recommended practice going forward. And so I've spoken with Larry about bringing an ordinance to the board in February or March, along the lines of what the district has done in the past to reset its districts according to the Board of Supervisors new districts. And that's, I'm happy to address any questions.
And then there was any questions that I had one more correspondence to report.
Is there any chance we can get Blue Lake back in the 5th District? I love Blue Lake. No, sorry.
Oh, Pat, do you want to be in the same district as me?
That's right. They're going to gerrymander, so we have to run against each other, Stephen.
All right.
Okay, so the other piece of correspondence was regarding the cable landing ship. I wanted to give the board that as far as the cable landing ship is that we've been paid in full for the lease payments, but they've only been able to bored the conduits, but they were able to pull approximately 2.2 miles of the first cable that is out. And then the cable landing ship has left Humboldt Bay, and it won't be returning again until approximately March of next year. And that was primarily due to the rough sea conditions that we have out in the bay. But I wanted to report that we received that correspondence that only 2.2 miles of cable has been installed from the shore.
Thank you. And I just do want to say that I will continue to meet with the executive director to eventually bring an appropriate item regarding coal and coal exports to the board. Since that came up in correspondence and public comments. So moving on to business. Consider appointing a new vice president of Board of Commissioners. Larry Doss was the former vice president, and so we don't have a vice president now. And I'll go ahead and nominate Greg.
Does Greg accept that nomination?
I don't know. Or I'll nominate the crickets I'm hearing.
Oh, I'll accept the nomination. I was hoping there was going to be a second.
Second.
Okay, we have a nomination and a second. Do we have any others, or how do we generally do this? We just take a motion on this one, and then, or was that? I guess my nomination was a motion, but I generally, as chair, make motions. So, someone else want to make that motion?
I nominate Greg.
The chair can also make motions.
Yeah, oh, just in practice.
All right, then we'll stand on that.
Okay, so that my nomination was a motion. We have a motion and a second. Any discussion on the item?
He's overqualified.
Any comments from the public? I like the idea of the vice president sitting directly behind the executive director during meetings. You know, just, you know, get him on the back of the head when necessary. All right, we have a motion and a second floor. Could we have a vote, please?
President Coleman.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Commissioner Newman. I don't know if we're doing votes, so I forgot about Aaron.
No, we didn't seat him. You could ask him for his preference.
I don't think it'd be appropriate for me to vote.
There we go.
I just didn't want to exclude our new commissioner.
Maybe he can abstain until he's sworn in. Otherwise, we don't know where his allegiance lies. All right. So it passes. Congratulations. Item 10B, review the progress on removing hazardous waste at RMT2 and the County Department of Health and Human Services proposed settlement offer case number UPA-21002 regarding hazardous material storage and reporting and provide direction as may be appropriate. Do you have a report on that, Larry?
Yes, staff.
Uh-oh. You froze, Larry.
That means he's probably going to have to get off and get back on. Zoom.
It's
It's got some wrinkles. Frozen Larry is one. Can I give a salmon report?
Yeah, well, I wonder. I wonder if Chris and I could give the report on this while we're waiting for. Hey, Chris, can you give us just like an update on the status of the materials at RMT2?
Absolutely. So the bulk of the material is now gone. We have remaining just 11 55-gallon drums of material that is has to be incinerated. So we're waiting for clearance from the incinerator to accept those materials. And there are four small bags of 55 pounds each of a cement type matter that will also go in that transport. And the week before last, a week ago, Tuesday, Clean Earth was here and removed about 30 drums of the items in question. And all of the reporting data, I received some training from Health and Human Services locally to help me get up to speed enough to get all those items into compliance and to update the inventories. And so all that is complete. The next step will be for us to get some formal training for those areas that we're not familiar with. And we're going to be completing those over the next few days. Over the next few weeks, mid-November.
Okay, and I think I can give, while we're waiting for Larry to come back, I can give a little bit of report on the action that has happened. And so despite the best efforts of staff, which have been very valiant in cleaning up the former pulp mill, which, as we all know, the Harper District took control over in a very disastrous situation, we have not, the Harbor District has not met certain deadlines in removing some of the material. You know, a lot of that was beyond our control during the pandemic. A lot of places are not accepting this material for disposal. It needs to be transported to special incinerators and landfills and places like that. So the County Department of Health and Human Services has found a violation on the Harbor District and has levied an initial fine and then has given a proposed settlement where that fine is reduced for taking certain actions. So a portion of that fine is going towards staff training, a portion of it's going towards removal of material. Another portion of it's going towards doing additional cleanups around the peninsula, and another portion is going to remove additional material from the facility. And that's still leaving $30,000 in a cash fine to the district because, again, we've missed the deadline on removing some of this, although we, again, are making our best effort at it. The executive director and I met with outside counsel because our in-house counsel had to recuse himself for work that he does or his firm does with the county. And we're advised against fighting it, that fighting the fine would probably end up costing the district more than the actual fine. And so the proposal here is to accept the settlement and pay the fine, with a transmittal letter stating that it is our recommendation that $30,000 that we're paying the county, that the county allocate towards additional remediation work on the bay.
I will make a very unenthused motion.
I will be equally unenthusiastic in my second.
So we have an unenthusiastic motion and an unenthusiastic second. Any further discussion? Did I seem to catch all the high topics? Go ahead, Pat. I'm sure you have something to say about this.
Well, you know, in that we got rid of 3 million gallons of toxic liquors, that's 8 pounds a gallon. You know, when you look at the amount of waste that was left, it's infinitesimal compared to what we cleaned up. And the county's rather strident action was unnecessary and ingracious. But I think our attorney has reached accord. So it's reasonable and actually probably a good thing for the district going forward to improve its compliance. But, you know, the reason I'm unenthusiastic is I don't think we needed to be called out on this. We were doing everything we possibly could, but it is the modern age. And I think that the settlement is, it's okay. And so I'm okay with it. So thank you for letting me kind of frame it from my perspective.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, I have to also just say it seems to be kind of bureaucracy at its worst of, you know, that $30,000 we would have used for continuing to clean it up, and now we just have to pay it. But we're, you know, doing our best to take care of a situation that we inherited and that we inherited for the purpose of cleaning up. So it does seem unfortunate, but it's the reality. So I see Greg's hand there. I think you'll have to unmute yourself to talk, Greg. I'm not sure what device you're on. Are you on your phone or something?
Yeah, Larry's internet is not working, so we're on my phone.
All right.
So I thank the district and you and Larry for coming to this conclusion. I think the only thing I would add to the discussion is that let's let this be a learning exercise and hear as much as I hate to say it, hear what environmental health is saying to us and not let this type of stuff happen again. Yeah, that's the part that is important, is to walk away with this. We can be angry, but let's be angry and learn from it.
All right. Anything else from the commission before bring it to the public? Richard, I see your hand.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank our district staff, Chris Mickelson, in particular, for having to deal with this problem out there and doing it graciously and having to take on other training he probably would rather not. So, or no, I don't know. Maybe he's excited to do that type of training. So I might be speaking
thank
out.
Thank you, Richard. I'm happy to do so.
I don't know if it's the same HAZWOPR training I took many years ago. Most of it is watched. When I took it, was like watching videos of propane tanks exploding, but maybe it's a little different for you right now. But I do also want to say, because it mentioned like the cleanups, the other cleanups that the district is doing and funding that. And that's another thing to congratulate the staff on. I mean, I don't know how many cleanups on the peninsula that district staff has taken part in or helped facilitate. And so I'm really happy to see that. I think that's a great thing for us to be doing. So again, if there's nothing else from the board, I'll bring it to the public. Any comment on this matter? Oh, now I see Larry in two places. And let me look through. I'm not seeing anyone trying to comment now. You can either unmute or raise your hand or some other way get it our attention if you'd like to comment. And if not, I'll bring it back up to the board. And just before we take a vote, Larry, I don't know, like during that, if you caught what the motion was, but it was to accept the settlement offer and to convey in the transmittal letter that it is our advice that settlement be used to fund additional cleanup activities on the peninsula?
Yes, I did. And we will draft a transmittal letter to that effect.
All right. So I think we can take a vote on this.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yeah.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
And President Coleman.
Yes. All right. Motion passes. And future Commissioner Newman. So Item 10C, consider adopting resolution 2021-14, a resolution establishing findings relevant to permit 2021-04, a CEQA exemption and conditional approval of permit 2021-04 for Dulawai Island Dock Repair Project. Is there a report on this?
Yes, I'll just give you a quick report is that this project is known as the Tulawai Island Dock Repair Project. The applicant is the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. The purpose is to repair and replace existing wood piling dock on Tulawai Island directly across from Woodley Island Marina here. They're going to basically remove and replace about 14 creosote-soaked pilings with new 10-inch pilings. They're proposed to use a new method that we haven't seen for a while, which is to basically use water jets for the installation. And in essence, what they'll be doing is they'll be shooting water directly where the piles are, and then the piles will just sink into the ground. And so I'm very interested to see how this approach worked. I've watched some videos of this, and it looks like it's a really innovative way to install the pilings without really disturbing wildlife and other kinds of things. The project is located, again, here's Woodley Island Marina, and there's these residences that are in this area, and it would replace this dock that's located right here and would access the wildlife refuge properties that they own. And so with that, staff would recommend that the board adopt the resolution and consent to read by title only.
A move.
Thank you. We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Stephen, I have a couple questions.
Sure. I'm wondering if maybe we could get a second before we questions, or if not.
I'll second that then.
All right. Thanks. Go ahead, Greg.
And looking through the document, I don't see any discussion of impacts to eelgrass. There's quite a bit of eelgrass under this dock, or any mitigation plan to mitigate for those impacts. And I think that's something that we've required of other dock replacement repairs, certainly docks that have not been previously mitigated for. And I was just curious if there was any, and that's one number, my first question. My second question is this a public dock? Is this a dock that the public can access if it's done by the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service?
I don't know about the public access to it, but all the work, to my knowledge, is being done by the Fish and Wildlife Service. All of the application materials and everything that we have received have been correspondence through Fish and Wildlife. And on the district's website is the actual conditions of approval. And I believe I thought they were attached to the project. But within those, the project is conditioned upon complying with the piling installation and removal best management practices. And those are really detailed 2 pages worth of specific conditions. And as part of those are eelgrass avoidance measures. Everything would be done by barge. And when they go in, that the barge, you have to bring in the barge, and it has to be at a high tide, so the barge cannot touch the bottom of the elevation. And they also have to stay away from any eelgrass locations that they have. It was my understanding. I thought that was in the packet, but I must have been mistaken if I wasn't.
I didn't see an eelgrass monitoring gland or anything in there, and that's what I was looking for. We've made the city of Eureka do this. We've made Chevron do this. We've made ourselves do it. I don't know why.
I wouldn't mind a new precedent. You know, it's
why we didn't require U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to do it.
We, I worked with Plan West, Vanessa,
mm-hmm.
And within the application checklist, we specifically had an item on the eelgrass, and then we responded to the Fish and Wildlife because we asked them that question specifically, would this impact eelgrass? And they responded back that they reviewed it and there was no eelgrass in the area, was the response that we received from U.S. Fish and Wildlife.
Interesting. That's, they don't have an eelgrass map, or they haven't mapped the eelgrass that's underneath there?
No, they did not. But on page 75 of 77 are the piling installation best management practices and that are associated with it. And there's a whole host of them, but number two is avoid staging the barge or other equipment over eelgrass habitat. If eelgrass is within 100 feet of the site, the district's eelgrass and avoidance minimization measures and best practices shall be followed. And then there's a variety of different other components. But that was the correspondence that we received from, again, that was directly through U.S. Fish and Wildlife.
I'd like to see a map of where the eelgrass is. That's my opinion. We have a motion in a second. We've made everybody else do the same thing. I don't know why these guys wouldn't have to do that same, go through that same process.
We could make a condition of approval that they provide the district a map of the eelgrass locations to document eelgrass avoidance. That could be placed as a condition if that was something that the board wanted to see.
And how well, and then there's the eelgrass mitigation policy is, I mean, if they're within 5 meters of eelgrass, there's quite a bit of policy surrounding that we've required of others. I don't think it's fair that we don't require it of all applicants.
On these specific, I just rewrote every one of these. And these were written, and they're also in the next application, the exact same policies for the city of Eureka as the piling removal project. And the reason why I took the time and went through and rewrote those, because the Harbor District is proposing to remove piles, the Kramer Dock, which is down in Fields Landing. And we prepared these for the exact same piling removal project, the eelgrass avoidance plan, and these best management practices. And these have been reviewed by Fish and Wildlife, the Coastal Commission, and we received specific comments on those. And then,
but that's to remove piling so the eelgrass can colonize that area, not remove and replace.
The one with the city of Eureka, which is the next agenda item, which is this, to remove the pilings at the fisherman's terminal and then replace them.
But that's all been mitigated for the eelgrass impacts there already. They've already mitigated for that. So that's just fender pile, and that's a routine dock maintenance, and they've mitigated for that. They went through this, they mapped it and mitigated for that eelgrass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure that this dock's ever been mitigated for.
Yeah.
Could we move on to other commissioner questions or comments, or before we, and I think there could be an amendment to the motion as well, or we could just take further comments.
I'd like to hear whether or not Jennifer Cault of the Baykeeper shares these concerns that Greg has, or the person from the Sierra Club, Robin. I mean, so these are environmental groups, and I wonder if they shared Greg's concerns.
Yeah, I mean, that would be interesting. I'm not sure how familiar they are with this particular project, though, so it's kind of hard to put somebody on that. I mean, I don't think it would be out of the ordinary to make as a approval condition that they provide the district with a map and then a mitigation plan if necessary. But we can move to the public if there's nothing else from the commission. So I see Jennifer Cult's virtual hand raised there. So I'll go ahead to her.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. I'm on a different computer than usual and doesn't have a camera, so sorry about that. Yeah, Jennifer Colt, Director of Humboldt Baykeeper. I have not had a chance to look at this, but the questions that Commissioner Dale is raising are really concerning to me. And I have been wondering, you know, if there's a plan to replace your conservation director, Adam Wagshall, because if he was here, he would know the answers to these questions. I mean, there's, you know, a no net loss policy for eelgrass at pretty much every agency. And I believe didn't the Harbor District adopt its own eelgrass management plan or whatever happened with that? I don't even really know if it was adopted, but you know, this is all pretty straightforward stuff that someone on staff there should know the answers to these questions, or you know, have a consultant there to answer them or something. But, you know, I'm sorry I didn't look at the proposal, but it just seems so straightforward and rote that it would be dealt with that, you know, I just haven't had time, and I'm glad I tuned in. So I'm not sure what else to say other than it's concerning. It is concerning, and it seems like passing the buck to the Coastal Commission and just letting them be the bad guys is not really the best way to go about doing this. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public?
So the application was reviewed by Adam. Adam was the one that processed. Adam Wagshall was the person that processed this application, and he prepared the draft conditions before he left. And as part of the application procedures, or every application that the Harbor District has, all the applicants, there's a specific eelgrass checklist that is included within the application materials. And so as part of that, one of the questions is, you know, is the eelgrass present at the location? And they checked no on that. And again, this is from U.S. Fish and Wildlife. They checked no. And then we followed back up and asked them specifically, are there eelgrass in this location? And they said, no, there was not going to be any eelgrass that would be implemented. And so then again, there's a specific condition of approval in the project that requires eelgrass best management practices, avoidance and best management practices in case they are there. And then lastly, the Water District has already issued their permit. They've reviewed the permit. They found the project to be exempt from CEQA, and they have approved the project.
I think that has bearing.
It does have bearing. Again, like I stated before, I would not be opposed to approving with the condition that they provide us with an eelgrass map, and if there are going to be impacts to eelgrass, a mitigation plan.
Actually, Stephen, before you went to the public, you missed Richard. He wanted to comment then. So.
Oh, thank you. I must have missed that. Did you have something else to say, Richard?
It's all right. It's all been covered.
Well, there's the question, Richard, whether or not we would amend our motion, because I made it and you seconded. I'm not inclined. I am kind of to appease Greg, but I think it's sufficient. And so therefore, no. Unless, Richard, do you think, I'm willing to have a dialogue with you as the second. That's my response, but if you—
Well, since the concern's there, I don't see why not add the stipulation.
Okay, that's what we'll do. thank you for helping me with that. And that's more, it's more respectful to Greg, and it's more, it shows the openness of the process. So, yeah.
And more likely to pass.
Map. We want a map of the eelgrass along with it. And so we can conditionally pass this, and then that's a requirement for them, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
So the motion is to approve. What are we actually approving here? Are we approving this?
You would be adopting resolution.
Establishing findings in the CEQA exemption, conditional approval of permit 2021-04. Don't we usually split permits away from the resolution on two votes?
We normally do, but that's basically the way this is set up. If you adopt the resolution, it automatically, there's three items that it does. It approves makes the findings, it approves the permit, and then it also approves the CEQA.
Okay, so is the motion to approve pending U.S. Fish and Wildlife providing the district with an eelgrass map of the area and a mitigation plan if there is impact to eelgrass?
That's correct. If there's, they would map the, and so, yes.
I mean, that almost goes with that. If there is eelgrass, they have to provide a mitigation plan, so.
So I think the first motion then should be a motion to modify the permit to add a condition that the permittee will perform and conduct a preliminary eelgrass survey, and that in the event that eelgrass is within or in close proximity to the project, then an eelgrass mitigation and monitoring plan would need to be adopted and approved by the district.
I think Richard and I are okay with that.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's motion one to amend the permit, approve the amended permit.
Then motion to the resolution.
All right, I guess, can we just take a vote on that now, on that amended?
Yeah, I think Commissioner Higgins and Marks will table their first motion, have a motion to amend the permit as I indicated. You can just say so moved. The minutes can reflect that, and I can send it to Larry for the minutes. And then we can, after that vote, we can take up the original motion.
Withdrawing the motion, not tabling with the consent of the second, I think is appropriate. Can we can just withdraw that motion, right, Richard?
Let's withdraw it.
Okay. So be it.
And then are you going to make, then you have to make the new motion as?
Make a motion to accept council's suggested amendments to the motion.
And I'll second.
All right. And then, so we do everything right. Should I go to public again since it's a new motion?
Yep.
You technically don't have to. I mean, it's one agenda item and public comment's gone out, but you're more than welcome to. Never hurts.
I will if there's any comments on the amended motion. And seeing none, I'll bring it back for a vote.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Commissioner Coleman.
Yes. Thank you. And so now we need to make a second motion for.
I'll make a motion for resolution.
14. I'll second.
The motion second. This is the same item. Out of courtesy, if any public want to comment on this, are we all good? Seeing none, I'll bring can we have another vote?
Commissioner Higgins.
Did you have a comment, Greg?
I just had a question for Ryan. Would this, or the motion makers, would this condition or would this motion have the same statement on it? Or does it need to?
It would, well, the resolution incorporates the motion or the permit as amended by the prior motion. Okay.
Question.
All right. So go ahead and proceed with the vote.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks.
Yes.
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Commissioner Coleman.
Yes. Thank you. And although that might have seemed painful, I appreciate the concern of trying to protect the environmental integrity of our budget. So I think it was worth the extra time to figure that out. Item 10C, wait, this is, no, item 10D. Consider adopting resolution 2021-15, approving permit 2021-05. For the City of Eureka Fisherman's Terminal Pile Replacement Project.
Yes, and so this project is very similar, but at the Fisherman's Terminal project, which is located right here near the foot of C Street, I believe it is, in Eureka. And the City of Eureka is the applicant on that one. And what that they were proposing to do is to remove 40 existing deteriorated wood pilings and replace those with plastic composite pilings that are approximately 14 inches, which are the same size as the existing ones. And then basically connect those in with, stronger connections to the dock pilings. And so the conditions of approval are essentially the exact same as the previous project. As Commissioner Dale had mentioned, on that project, when the Fisherman's Terminal project was included, it's my understanding that there was eelgrass mitigation that was associated with that. But the project is still conditioned upon having eelgrass avoidance measures, which are designed to minimize any impacts on eelgrass. And lastly, the City of Eureka completed the environmental documentation under CEQA as the lead agency on this project. So staff would recommend that the board approve resolution number 2021-015.
I'll make a motion that we approve the 21-05 pile replacement permit for the City of Eureka.
And the resolution, so the resolution is 2021-15 and the permit is 2021-05. So is your motion covering both, Greg?
Yes, I apologize. I'm looking at Larry's screen and he only has one on there. Yes.
No worries.
Second.
Pardon me. Okay, we have motion and second. Any questions or discussion from the board?
I'll say one thing, Stephen. Is the difference is this dock is in deep water. These are fender pilings that they're replacing that probably need to be replaced on a more regular basis than they actually have been. But this is more of a routine dock maintenance. They do this at almost all the docks up and down the coast. And this dock was, so none of these, there's no eelgrass associated with any of these piles there. And they know that because they already did the mapping.
Okay. And I apologize for the tangent, but I haven't heard of plastic composite pilings before. Is that a common?
Yes.
All right.
The reason they use them is because the boats tie up to these pilings. And instead of steel pilings or concrete pilings, which will scratch the paint, wear the sides of the boat down, the rub rails and whatnot, these are plastic or in the old days, wood. And I think plastic's better than wood. Well, I hope they are.
I would hope, but I probably doubt it, that they use recycled material and not plastic, those pilings, but who knows, maybe they do. But that is off topic. So any other questions or comments from Richard?
Well, since they have plastic pilings, maybe we could have them mitigate the issue by planting eelgrass underneath.
It's too deep, Richard. It won't grow there.
There's some low tide, 5 feet.
Maybe we'll put some dredge spoilings there to bring the depth up a little bit so that they can plant eelgrass. Getting silly here. So any questions or comments from the public? I am seeing none. So bring it back up. Could we have a vote, please?
Commissioner Dale.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks.
No, this is for the permit, not for the resolution, right?
It's both.
For both.
Yes.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
And President Coleman.
Yes. All right. Well, that's all we have on our agenda. I think I've heard plenty of interest in trying to hold our next meeting in person. So, and is our next meeting the regularly scheduled December meeting, or are we shifting that one as well? It should be the regularly scheduled one, right? Because we
it'll be the regularly scheduled meeting on December 9th.
Okay.
Congratulations, Aaron Newman. We'll swear you in then, and then we'll swear at you later.
All right. Well, if there's nothing else, have a wonderful evening, everyone. Stay safe. Take care.
Good night.